I want to talk for a little bit about the transforming power of suffering. Not a subject I think that all of you are rushing to hear about. And it's really a subject that is as much as possible ignored in human experience. We are a society that is so in denial of suffering, that so works to eliminate suffering and at the same time causes suffering. In a sense, we are the aspirin society. We are the society that dulls pain. We are a highly medicated society of people dulling emotional pain, dulling physical pain, pretending it doesn't exist, really. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. And you know you're not fine. Most people aren't fine in general. We are complicated entities. We have a lot of stuff going on in our lives every day. Some of it is not comfortable. Actually, often a lot of it is not comfortable, and we suffer. But we are told in our culture, don't share suffering. Nobody wants to hear about it. Deal with it on your own. And in a certain sense, there's some value in that. Dealing with it on your own is not inappropriate. Walking around complaining all the time does get tiresome for everybody. But it's not to not acknowledge it. I remember once in the ashram waking up one morning and I was in my, hi, how are you, how's everything, everybody's getting waiting for the fine, 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 and one of my friends said, you know, I'm having a hard day. That's all he said. I was so blown away by the honesty of it, so touched by it, my heart just sprung open. And so we just hugged. Period. Nothing more was said, nothing more was acknowledged, other than there was extraordinary compassion for what he had honestly told me. And I learned that it's an important mechanism, because by acknowledging suffering, we elicit from those of us who are open love and compassion. And in the end, it's probably the greatest thing that we all share. Because although it's nice to be acknowledged when things are going well, and it's nice to be around people when they're celebrating happy moments, and it's always extraordinary when it happens, truly. It's one of the reasons we celebrate happy moments, because they're extraordinary, extraordinary. And the experience of suffering, which is from mild to extreme in people's lives, is in a certain sense a kind of touchstone that brings us to what you might call reality. Because you can't ignore it too much. You can ignore many, many things in life. And we ignore a lot of the really good things in life. That's one of our tendencies, and one of our failures is, you know, we ignore the unbelievable joy of, I've talked about this before, of sitting in the morning and having a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper. It's like, well, you're just having a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper. Well, in truth, for many people, it's as good as it gets. And it's really pretty good. Sun is shining. It's a warm day. It's really nice. Nothing has come to assault you yet other than the news. And you kind of look at it from a fairly detached perspective, and you get a global view of things, and you go, this is a nice moment. But the suffering comes from so many different sources. And primal suffering is an existential thing. Primal suffering is basically that we are beings within a body that is temporal. Basically, a body that ultimately will cease to function and will slowly, from early on, give you intimations of that. Things will stop working. They won't be what they were. There will be panic and fear and denial. Because what do? This one thing that you believe you are, this one thing that seems to be completely true, is this body. And yet everything around you, everything you look at in life, tells you it ain't going to be around a long time. And so people tend to live in a kind of fear of that truth and in a kind of ignoring of that truth. And usually it's people who come to spiritual life who have, for one reason or another, acknowledged that. They go, something isn't right in Denmark. Something's not right here. This body of mine, which I am totally devoted to, this life which I am building with every ounce of energy that I have, this ambition that I have to prevail in this world, is all going to end up being worthless, meaningless. It's all going to fall away. That is the source of existential suffering. That existential suffering also manifests itself physically. Things stop working. Anybody who's had a car for 10 years knows what I'm talking about. Something goes, you get it repaired. Something goes, you get it repaired. And then they tell you, this isn't worth it anymore. Can't be repaired. You know, it's not, get a new car. But you don't really get a new body. Or maybe you do, but that's part of the spiritual pursuit. The belief that somehow we will go on beyond our body. And one comes to spiritual pursuit when they realize there's no trade-in, as far as you can tell, on this current form of yours. The pain of suffering is ultimately unavoidable. You can put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. You can drink it away, you can eat it away, you can have sex to get it away, you can do anything you want to get it away, but it comes back. And ultimately, it really hurts. It brings tears, it brings grief, it brings unbelievable senses of fear. And because it is so seemingly ultimate, it is in some ways one of the great teachers. Because nothing else seems quite as real. Our happiness, everybody knows, our happiness seems very ephemeral. It comes and you want to hold it just like you want to hold rainbows or clouds or warm air. You want to hold this thing that's just already moving away. Happiness is such a great thing, joy, pleasure. It comes, and you can see it going as you're having it. But pain seems to have this kind of bedrock solidity. It keeps coming back to that, and you keep shifting and squirming and trying to figure out a way not to engage it. But at some point, engagement is essential, and at that moment, your life becomes real. And if you don't try to avoid it, if you don't try to pretend it away, if you just sit with it, it becomes what Rudy called God's love. Pain is God's love. It makes no sense to the brain. It makes no sense to the mind. It makes no sense to that thing that wants to run. But the moment you go yes to it, or you recognize there's nowhere to go, there is nowhere to go, period. Nothing you call upon, including God, will help you. You simply accept the pain. You turn toward the fire. You turn toward the pressure. And then all I can tell you is what I've experienced in myself and what Christ taught from the cross is something happens. A humility. A sense of deep surrender. A sense of extraordinary forgiveness for whatever it is that might be causing that pain. There is this extraordinary sense of saying, okay. And that okay, when it's really painful, is so profound. It is so vast. It is so meaningful. It is so filled with a kind of ancient wisdom, the wisdom of human existence. And you enter into that pain, and then, I will call it, if you will, resurrection. Rebirth. Reawakening. A new base of knowledge or insight. A new flowering of your being. We look at the world of nature, and when you prune a plant, it cannot be comfortable. Cutting it back is not comfortable for the plant. But what happens to the plant that is pruned is that by cutting away the dead stuff, by cutting away all the extra, by cutting away the, if you will, the illusions of the mind, by cutting away all the falseness of yourself, what are you doing? You are making room for something new to grow. Bigger, stronger, fuller. This is the journey of unfolding of the human soul, of the human psyche, and we're all on it. We go from these moments of small pruning into big pruning, and ultimately the whole tree is taken down. We understand it in the worldly sense because the bush gets bigger, the plant gets bigger, it gets healthier. But what happens when the whole bush gets taken down? When the whole plant is uprooted? When true death occurs? Well, to the mind, that's a mystery. To the mind, it's the most speculated part of human existence. What happens then? But to anybody who has practiced spiritual work, to anybody who has allowed themselves to be pruned, who has allowed themselves to suffer, who has allowed themselves to experience being cut back, the doorway to the wisdom of that experience is profound, and it opens you up to a kind of knowledge, a kind of knowing, and that knowing knows that even when the tree is cut down, you have not been harmed. There is no loss. There is no loss. You cannot know that with your mind. You cannot know that through reading books. You cannot know it in any way but to go there. The only way to go there is to be a human being, because every human being ultimately will go there. Every human being will ultimately go to pain. Every human being will ultimately go to suffering, and it is unavoidable. To think that you can escape it is a delusion, and trust me on that. You don't have to seek it out, because it comes. It comes softly, it comes loudly, it comes occasionally, it comes rapidly, it can come and last for quite a long time. And it will break you down and break you down and break you down and break you down, and you may hate it every time, but ultimately the you that gets broken down is the dead limbs and the dead wood of your being. And the you that remains is eternal. And it is filled with a kind of joy of being, an appreciation for being, a kind of vitality in being, a kind of reawakened appreciation of what this world is and what it means to have life. That's the value of pain. Pain is ultimately liberating. Not to say you have to sit in a state of pain and project pain in some infinite sense, because that is a kind of absurd suffering. And a lot of people do it. They just create this sense of pain, or they experience it, and they project it far into the future, and then they have this false suffering, which is the inability to let go of projection of pain. And that's a big mistake for human beings. I know a lot of people, and it's really painful to watch, who amplify one painful moment for the rest of their life, who become fearful of pain for the rest of their life, who think that the source of that pain is infinite and eternal. None of that's true. Anybody who's been alive long enough knows it is all coming and going. It is not a cloudy day for 2,000 days. It's a cloudy day today and a sunny day tomorrow. It goes and it comes. It goes and it comes. It's all part of the rhythm of human experience. Don't create this moody person who sits in the house all day when the sun is out and says, "The sun will never shine for me again." The sun is out. It's out. Go out there. Look at it. Be willing to let go of your illusion that you alone are suffering like more than any other human being has ever suffered. You are like everyone else, no better, no worse. You have the same birthright, and that birthright passes through some uncomfortable phases, but the promise of spiritual life is that whatever you go through, you ultimately awaken into something that makes all that pain worthwhile. Trust me or don't trust me. It's really your choice. But those of us who come and sit at this table, sit at this point of stillness regularly, those who bring themselves to this over and over and over, the great value of that training ground of sitting, is that it allows you to see what is, and ultimately to accept what is, and in some level observe what is, and to realize that that what is as it should be. You make a deep peace with it, and that peace, as they say, surpasseth understanding. That's the journey we're on. Don't be afraid of it. Find the courage in doing it. The real courage comes not from aspirin and Tylenol. Nothing wrong with aspirin and Tylenol or any of the other ones. Where it's wrong is if that's the thing you take day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Because you don't need it day and night. You need it on occasion. There's nothing wrong with going to doctors if you have pain. There is nothing wrong with moderating your experience of it. But I'm telling you, when it starts to come at you and it is unavoidable, look at it as God's love and open to it and let it do its work, because it has work to do and it's work you want done. Any questions?
Bruce, thank you for talking about the color mysteries of suffering.
The what?
Thank you for talking about the mysteries of suffering. My experience is that there's a practical aspect to it, and it's two parts. One is a forced entry into total chaos, lack of intellect. The ultimate pain wipes out all intellect. And then the second part is forced selflessness, because as a response to that type of suffering, the only means of alleviating it is by surrender itself. That kind of forces one into this portal to get to what you're talking about. So, and I find spiritual work to a large degree is counter to that. It can be. It's our search for order rather than our search into the mysteries of chaos, which pain brings us. So it's really a magnificent teacher. I just wanted to add that.
Thank you. But let me just say that when you say that spiritual work is the opposite.
I say it can be.
Well, it can be perceived as the opposite. Many people go to spiritual work to avoid pain. It becomes like their Tylenol or their Prozac. This is not what spiritual work is, and anybody who stays in spiritual work long enough to discover that realizes it does exactly what you're talking about. It brings you to chaos. It brings you to not knowing. It brings you to the loss of self, not to the gaining of ego protection. It obliterates everything, which is why you don't find a lot of people taking this all the way, because people go to spiritual work looking for it for the wrong thing. What it really takes you to, and what it seduces you into ultimately, is everything you're talking about and what I was talking about in class today, which is pain is so ultimate in our journey that spiritual life, if anything, is a way of finding the courage to face it. Anyone else? I know this isn't the happiest topic, you know, but it's really important. And don't let people fool you in there. You know, go to spiritual work and find peace. You do find peace, but that it doesn't come without the price. It truly doesn't.
Can I add one more thing? Uh-huh. I mean, it is ultimately a happy topic. I mean, it brings one to such an amazing state of grace. And it's one of the few things in this world we get to experience that does that. So
it's built in for a reason. You know, it's not like some mistake. You know, as much as we look at it as why would God do this? You know, when you finally get it, you realize it's the only way. It's the only way, because reality as we know it, the creation is so magical and so extraordinary, but we can get so lost in it, in the Maya of existence. And to be brought back to the solid ground of what reality is, and to enter into that and pass through it into this vast sense of being, the doorway to that is only through the loss of one's separateness. And the loss of separateness is what pain is. Loss of separateness and the return to oneness has to happen through a kind of suffering. But, you know, I know your journey, you know, and I honor your journey, and you know, and I honor everybody's journey ultimately, because you just happen to be a little bit ahead of the curve right now. But everybody's heading in that direction, and we all have things to teach from our particular space. But it's not something you teach so much verbally as I'm trying to do. You teach it through the love that ultimately pours through you when you realize everybody's on this path. Love them, because my God, it's a hard journey, but it's beautiful.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Exactly.
Yep. Thank you, guys.